Are y'all ready for it? It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Anytime we open the scriptures and see what the Lord has to say, it's bound to be good. Real quick, I want you to know that, again, I'm going to reemphasize, this week is a week of prayer for revival, a week of prayer. Just because you don't sign up on the list doesn't mean you can't pray for revival. However, if you intend to pray for revival, please put your name down, because I want to pray for you. And I want to make sure that each day there is at least somebody praying that the Lord would bring revival among us, because there are people counting on it. Did you know that? Amen. People are counting on us. The following week, not this week, not this coming week, the following week, the week of prayer and fasting, I cannot speak to you how important this is. Again, there's some empty slots. It's not a publicized list. It's not something you get to put your name on and put it hanging on your wall and say, I fasted on so-and-so day. Nobody else needs to know. I want to know so I can pray specifically for you, because sometimes it's difficult. Okay? So if you intend to do that, please put your name down. But not this week, but the following week, the week of prayer and fasting, I want you to know that this church is going to be open at 7 o'clock each evening. Nothing scheduled. It's just going to be a place where the lights will be dim. There'll be music playing. I will be here. Others will be coming and going throughout that hour from 7 to 8 o'clock. Come. Just spend some time in prayer if you have the availability to do that. On Wednesday night, that's on that week of prayer and fasting, we're not going to have our regular scheduled stuff going on Wednesday night. It's just going to be that. However, on that Wednesday night, we will have communion right here, 7 o'clock Wednesday night, okay? So if you would like to participate in communion, come that evening. It'll be still a very intimate time. A couple years ago, we had a week of prayer and fasting, and we opened the church up each night and had different stations. You could sit at the table and read scripture. You could sit out there and pray. You could come to the altar and pray. And we had several different things like that going on. It was a wonderful time, and I think a lot of things, good things came from that. I'm really look forward to this, to our time of revival, with anticipation. And again, revival's not going to happen just because we say we're having revival. Revival happens because people pray and they seek the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have from me? What do you want from me? And what do you want for me that I've not yet experienced? I want that. That's when revival begins. And if revival truly begins and takes hold, folks, this whole area will be shaken to the core because of what the Lord has started here in this place. I would love to be part of that. I want to be part of that. I don't want to miss it, for sure. But it needs to happen, does it not? Lord, let it begin with us. Let it begin with us. I have, excuse me, I have several passages of Scripture I'm going to bring to you today. These are passages of Scripture that you will probably want to jot down, at least a reference, so that you can go back the rest of today and this week and begin to read some of this stuff. Excuse me. Tonight, the title of today's sermon is The Pressure of Being Gifted. Okay? When you're gifted, spiritually speaking, there is pressure involved, and I don't want to speak to that. And I want to speak today about spiritual gifts, okay? Tonight, if you will come back at 6 o'clock tonight, just do a quick show of hands, and nobody else is not taking note or charting this, but if you know what your spiritual gifts are, show me real quick. Okay. I take it by the number of hands that there are a bunch out there that are not quite sure what your spiritual gifts may be. Is that right? Show me. If you're not really quite sure, show me. Okay. Come back at 6 o'clock tonight. I'm going to walk you through a thing that they've been put together. I think they call it the spiritual gifts test or chart or something like that. I want to walk you through that because while it's not a complete identifier, it's not the end all of spiritual gift tests or seeking knowledge in spiritual gifts, it is a good identifier and a good place to start. So if you're interested of how you may be gifted spiritually and what the Lord has blessed you with, come back tonight. I'm going to walk us through that as a group so you can find out kind of where you may want to begin to start inquiring of the Lord in that realm. Okay, Romans chapter 12. I know that I need to work through some stuff here. So Romans chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 6 of Romans chapter 12. Again, you may want to jot this down. Romans 12, 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Okay, let me pause there. I'm not going to do this all the time, but I want to pause there. We all have gifts according to the grace given to, what's this word right here say? Who does that leave out? Okay, but you need to understand who he's writing this to. He's writing this to believers. So as believers, each of us have been given. Okay? Verse 7. If it is... Let me finish that phrase there, right? In verse 6. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according to your gift. But if it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Okay? I love what Paul is saying here. He said, look, to each one of us is given a gift. And so if it's one of these gifts, do it. Do it. And then there's specific instructions. Do it cheerfully. Do it diligently. Do it faithfully. Okay, First Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. Again, you may want to jot that scripture passage down. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking with different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He distributes them to, what's the word? Each one, just as He determines. And then finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Okay, that is our scripture passage for today. Those passages are the main three passages in scripture which identify the gifts. What's called the spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. Did you know that the easiest part of being gifted is? It's being gifted. The easiest part of being gifted is being gifted. The hardest part is sometimes being in the company of those who don't have what you have. Okay? I'll explain that a little bit more in just a moment. The hardest part of being gifted is being in the presence or in the company of those who don't have what you have. Now, let me ask you this, just as an example. As believers, we're given the Holy Spirit as a gift. Okay, all of us have that gift. Okay, when we come to church, is it an easy place or a hard place to be? Well, it's easy for us here, right? We're common minds, we think alike, we have the same purpose, same goal, right? Is it the same at your work? Now, hopefully I could say that it is at my work, right? Yeah. But I've been in churches where that's not the case in the office at work. It is in our case, but thank the Lord for that. But what about your work? What about your extracurricular activities? You know, what about at the ball field? Is it always the best atmosphere at the ball field? If you go to a ball game, maybe you go to watch one of the professional ball games, which is really a hot topic these days, right? Is it that easy to be in that company? You see what I'm saying? That everybody doesn't have what you have, it's difficult. Okay, now I'll talk more about that in a minute, but I believe that God brings people into our lives to give us a picture of what He wants us to grow towards. I do. Not that they're the ultimate standard or the ultimate goal. Jesus Christ is the ultimate standard. He is the ultimate goal. He is the ultimate role model for us. But I believe God brings people into our lives to show us maybe what the next step would be, or something to strive towards as we work our way towards the likeness of Christ. But sometimes that person in the group is you. Sometimes you are that person in the group that everyone else is looking towards and saying, I want to be like that someday. There's pressure. The pressure of being gifted, there's pressure right there. God is showing others what He wants them to grow into, and it creates a lot of pressure. Now, everyone in this room, if you are a believer, and listen, I make no pretenses, I make no assumptions to believe that everyone who says they're saved in this room is saved. Okay? But if you are, then you are gifted by God. Now, your gift may not be the same as mine, and the person next to you is gifted different than you are. Don't you love how God loves variety? And aren't you glad we're all gifted the same? Listen, if I can do what you can do and you can do what I can do, one of us is irrelevant here. If we're all working, as Paul says, the body works together, you know, I mean, I have two arms, what would I do with a third? It would be awkward. I can do everything God wants me to do with two arms. Okay? If we all have the same thing, if we all have the same gifting, there's something missing. Okay? That's why the church is so beautiful. Because I bring what God has given me. You bring what God has given you. You bring what God has given you. You bring and you bring. And we all bring what God has given us. And together, we become complete. That's what's beautiful about the church. It's a beautiful thing. And we're not only complete, but we're strong. Now, the first thing in getting a gift is learning how to open it. Wait. First of all, that was the first thing. Let me go to point five thing, okay, which comes before number one. You do know that the gift is intended to be opened, right? You have to open the gift, which is what I heard. You have to receive it. That's how you receive it. You open the gift. And how many times have you heard of somebody getting a Christmas gift or a birthday gift and going, whoa, this packaging is so beautiful, I'm not even going to open it. I'm just going to stick it up here and display my gift. No, you got to open it. You got to open it to get what's inside. You have to receive that gift, okay? What good is a gift that's never opened, used, or even investigated? Okay, now that we learned that we have to open the gift, I got a story to tell you. I got a knife as a gift one time, and I really needed that knife. The problem was, I needed the knife because I didn't have a knife. Okay? The knife came in this hard plastic clamshell package. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The kind where they've taken a machine and it's molded around the thing. You can see it from all angles. You can see it and it rattles in there. And it's been welded all the way around the plastic and you can't get in it. Okay? I needed a knife to get into the package where my knife was. I needed the knife that was inside the package to open the package because I didn't have a knife. I needed that knife, right? I had to get another something else to open up so I could get to the item that I needed. It was difficult to get into. How many of you have heard of the people that have been seriously injured trying to open those packages? How many of you have been injured trying to open one of those packages? Right? Either by the instrument you're trying to open with or by the stinking clamshell package itself. Because listen, I could take a clamshell package, go to deer camp. I bet you I could skin an entire deer just with the clamshell package. It's sharp. I've been cut by those things. That's dangerous. But I had to open the package, and it wasn't always easy to open it. Gifts have to be opened. And really nice gifts have to be opened very carefully. They have to be unpacked. They have to be... I think it should come with a word on there that says fragile. Be careful opening the gift. Take time and make sure you... Guys, sometimes we need to make sure we do read the instructions. I was putting together the thing you push with the baby in it? A stroller the other day. It's been a while, okay? It's been a while. But I was putting it together the other day. Man, I had parts laid out, and I started putting stuff together. And I got almost finished, and I had extra parts over here, and I had stuff over here, and this didn't look like what the picture showed it to look like. And it took me a while. I had to bust out the instructions. Folks, sometimes we need instructions to understand how to work the gift, how to to make it work. Folks, we find the instructions right here. Each believer, each and every believer has been given a gift. And the instructions are all found in one place. And it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Gifts are often accompanied, though, by discomfort. Okay, it's talking spiritually. Spiritual gifts are often accompanied by discomfort so that the gifted person doesn't rest in the gift and neglect the giver. Now, that's a hard statement. But sometimes the gift we get comes with some difficulties, or sometimes difficulties come in that to work, either try to work against our gift or to prove the gift. And it's there for a purpose, but it's difficult. It's a struggle sometimes. The gift is never the end of the process. Getting the gift, I mean, you don't just take... When I opened that knife and I got it opened and I opened up the knife and went, that's a sharp knife. I like that. That was not the end of the knife. That knife was supposed to be used. It's supposed to cut stuff. That's what knives do. Okay, it's not a pocket weight. It's not a decorative thing to put in the pouch on the hip, right? It's not a display. Now, I do have some knives that are displayed, but that's their purpose, okay? The knife that I have that was made in a gift to me by Rebecca's father is a display knife. It's not... I don't use it because it's a display. There's a knife in my office that's a display knife. It's not sharp, and it's not supposed to be used for anything. That's its intended purpose. But a pocket knife is supposed to be used. Is a pocket knife supposed to be used, Jeff? Amen. Amen, he says. It's right there. It's part of Scripture, I believe, somewhere, right?
Yes.
Okay. And one is never enough, is it?
No.
Well, you got to have different knives for different purposes, right? Okay. All right. That's a whole other sermon. That's a man thing. That's right. I texted you that passage, didn't I? Didn't I? Oh, I digress. Where was I here? Okay. Right. Sometimes God will give you a gift and will also give you a problem so that you don't think you got the gift without Him. Okay? Now, have you ever felt that you're doing it right, but you're struggling while others are doing it wrong and succeeding? I mean, you go to church while your neighbor's loading up his fishing boat. On the way to church, you drive out, and there your neighbor. He's loading, putting the poles in his boat, and you know that he's not intending to, after church, come by and pick up the boat and go out to the lake. He's going to the lake. He's at the lake right now while you're in church. Okay, you're trying to do it right. He's not doing it right, and he's going to have a fish fry tonight. Okay? Maybe he'll invite you, but don't let that keep you from church. All right? You write the tithe check when your pantry is empty and there are needs, and your friend is making money hand over fist and they've got all kinds of stuff. It's the same guy with the boat, right? Not only does he have a boat, he has a nice whatever else. And everything he has is nice, and he throws parties and spends money right and left. You're trying to do it right and you're struggling, and they're not trying to do it right, and it seems like they're getting blessed right and left. It happens. You give to those in need while your friend criticizes you and says the reason you don't have money and the reason he does have money is because he doesn't give it away. What is your gift? Probably if that's you, your gift is giving. Your gift is hospitality. You're one of those things where you see a need and you fill it. And the Lord does repay. He does bless. We have to wrap our minds around the temporariness of this life before we can understand that what they have is fleeting, but what you have in Christ is eternal. That bass boat, you have to understand I have a love for fishing, okay? So that's why this is coming out. But that bass boat is probably not going to make it to heaven. But I am. And if there are bass boats in heaven, it's going to be much better than that one anyway. Maybe in heaven I won't need a boat because I'll just be able to walk out on the water. Wouldn't that be cool? And explain how my lure is going to get under the water. I don't know. That's another thing, right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says this, "And the God of all grace who called you to His glory, to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Folks, being gifted, receiving spiritual gifts does not mean there's not going to be any more struggle. It does not mean that everything's always going to be all hunky-dory and fine and perfect. What it means is God is using you in a place that is fallen and broken to point others to Him. That's what it's for. We have been given gifts. All believers have been given gifts. Now, not all believers have opened their gift. Not all believers know what their gift is. And I encourage you to seek the Lord to find out what your gifts are. Whatever your gift is, though, it varies from person to person. However, every believer has the gift of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who brings the other gifts. It's the gift that keeps on giving. He brings us the other gifts. He's the one who will show you what your gift is and what the purpose of that gift is. Now this morning, I asked when I asked our prayer group, I don't know if I told you or not, but I asked our prayer group, what have you received as a gift that has been, what's the best thing you ever received as a gift? Not spiritually speaking, okay? I said, this is not a Jesus answer question. What gift have you physically received that was the best gift ever? All right? I got things listed like a gun, a sweater that had special meaning, wedding rings, property, parents, or even a memento of a very special occasion. Okay? Well, these gifts were meant to be used, and guess what? Every one of those people mentioned that gift. I asked them, did you use it? Whether they used it and it wore out, used it and it ended up breaking, had to be replaced again at some point, or for 48 years, one gentleman said, I've had that gift and it's been front and center on my desk for 48 years. Whatever the gift, whatever the purpose, the meaning, it was special. And it was used. And folks, the same is true with spiritual gifts. They are given for a purpose. Don't neglect your gift. Let us put our gifts to use for the purpose they were intended. God receives the glory, and You will receive the honor of being obedient and the satisfaction that the gift given to you was not given in vain. Now here's the catch. You don't get the gift without the giver. Only those who know Jesus Christ through a personal relationship get the gifts. So let me wrap this thing up with just a few questions. First, do you know Christ? If so, then you have the Holy Spirit and He came packed with other gifts. Now, if you don't know Christ, you're missing out on the greatest gift ever, which is eternal life. And number two, what gift or gifts has the Lord entrusted you with to be used to accomplish His work here on earth? When I wrote that this morning, this was an addition to my sermon that I had written earlier in the week. And I want to restate this statement again. What gift or gifts has the Lord entrusted you with to be used to accomplish His work here on earth? You see, the gift is not just a gift. It's something that's entrusted to you. There are, when you are entrusted with something, there are responsibilities that go along with that gift. The main responsibility is to use it. Put it to use. And lastly, are you using those gifts for their intended purpose? Folks, we will all be held accountable for what either we have done or what we have not done with that which God has given. You know, here's the deal. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift ever, right? Will you be held accountable for what you have done or have not done with that gift? Folks, if you never open the gift of Jesus Christ, you'll be held accountable one day. The Bible tells us that there are some words that the Lord would say. Depart from me, I never knew you. If you choose not to open that gift. So if that is the greatest gift, and we know that there are responsibilities and consequences for either not opening or not opening that gift, the other gifts that the Holy Spirit brings, why should we think there would not be consequences for either using or not using those? You see, they're not just a gift. It's something that's entrusted to us. The gift very seldom is used for the receiver of the gift. It's always a gift for somebody else. If he's given the gift of prophecy, then that prophecy is not for the one given the prophecy, it's for other people that are hearing the prophecy. If it's a gift of giving or if it gets hospitality, whatever it is, it's for somebody else. Folks, God has given you a gift for you, and that is the Holy Spirit. And He has given you gifts for somebody else. And it's time to share. We teach our kids, Bible says to share, right? God says share. Folks, it's time to share. It's time to take that gift, put it to use, because it was intended for a purpose. What is that purpose? That's between you and the Lord. Because your gift is not my gift. Your gift is not His gift, her gift. It's your gift. When you go shopping for a gift, you just walk down the aisle and go, I think I'll take this one for a party I'm going to. I want that person to have this gift. Or do you take time and go, I know this person. And this person really likes this activity, and I'm going to go to that section of the store, or I'm going to go to a store that specializes in that activity, right? Like Bass Pro Shops. And I can go to that store, and I know that this person likes this kind of thing, and I want to get this gift. You see, it's very thoughtful when we, meaningful gifts, when we want to give somebody, we think about it. We think through. We think about what they do and what they like. And folks, the Lord is like that. Not just that He gives you what you like, but He says, this is the purpose I have for that person, and this gift I'm giving is going to help that person accomplish their purpose. And He's thought it through. So what He's given you, He's thought about it. And there's a purpose behind it. Are you fulfilling that purpose? Maybe that is part of what God wants to revive in you. Revival. I believe revival is coming. But not the not the event, not the days on the schedule, but I believe God is going to be coming and reviving hearts in this place. Do you want it to be you? Are you willing to say, Lord, I don't know what my gifts are. It's been a long time that I've known you, but I've never really pursued how you've gifted me and what you want me to do with whatever you've given me. Maybe that's where you start. Lord, show me. Show me. Or maybe you've identified that. The Lord has shown you that. And then things happen and you've gotten sidetracked and things become set on the side and you've picked up some other things that in your mind took priority. But now maybe you're saying, you know what? I've neglected what the Lord has done. I don't want to stand before Him and give an account that I did nothing with the gift He's given me. I want to stand before the Lord and hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. Whatever your need is, I want you to know that we're about to close this thing up. We're about to have a time of decision, a time of invitation, a time of response, a time for the altar to be open. This is your time. This is your time. I pray that you do with it what the Lord wants you to do with it. And if that's to come to Him and say, Lord, I'm refreshing myself with you. I'm becoming revived. Even before the... Did you know that God doesn't have to wait till October 15th for revival to happen? You can begin to be revived here and now and today. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. If God wants to do something in you today, let Him start it today. All you have to do is be willing and say, here am I. Here I am. This is your time. We're going to stand in just a moment, have a time where there's songs are going to be sung. People are going to be praying. The altar is open. I'll be here in the front. Rebecca will be coming to stand with me. Either one of us or both of us will be glad to pray with you. But the truth is, you don't need us. You can come straight to the altar. Aren't you glad that that Jesus Christ is our mediator? We don't have to depend on another person. But I'm here if you want me. But you don't need me. But you do need Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, help us. Help us to respond physically to what you want us to do spiritually. And Lord, a relationship with you is never solely spiritual. It involves work. It involves doing. It involves speaking. It involves knowing people and getting involved in their lives and putting to work that which you have given us to be used for your glory. Father, help us to say, here I am, and I'm ready to go to work. I'm ready to go to work in Jesus' name.